This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. 43-year-old Nayib Bukele, the re-elected president of El Salvador. Evan, this man has skills. Wow. Does it make sense to you that he's emerged as a superstar? Did you see that coming?
John, it absolutely makes sense, although sometimes in worrisome ways. But first of all, given that previously El Salvador has a very young population, a population that had been also badly affected by violence at one point, 104 murders per 100,000 people, I remember back in the late 2000s. And so Bukele came with a combination of things and an atmosphere that was ripe for it. So first of all, as a relatively young person who's media savvy, who's internet savvy, he was able to cast himself as different and connect with the young people. Number two, after winning an initial victory on his own party platform, his new ideas party successfully controlled literally two-thirds of the legislature, which basically gave him the power to do whatever he wanted. So that was where you really saw the acceleration of a concept, which is to get the gangs under control, frankly, by terror tactics, with that legislative fiat. Virtually everybody in El Salvador, if you had a gang tattoo, if there's a reasonable suspicion you were a gang member, you got rounded up. They built a big new prison. They labeled the gangs as terrorists. The new prison is called Sikot, which literally means terrorist confinement center. And both in the prisons and in the roundups, really it implemented a reign of what I would call terror. But that terror dramatically decreased violence. And so literally El Salvador went from 104,000 murders per 100,000, 104 per 100,000 to about 3 per 100,000 today, which literally makes it safer than most parts of Canada. So that sense of, well, yeah, maybe 10% of the 84,000 people who have been rounded up and put in this prison may have been put there improperly or by accident. And maybe if you're too critical of the government, that can expose you to certain actions by the government who controls other institutions. But, you know, the streets are secure and I don't have to worry about my, mom or aunt getting extorted by the gangs anymore. So, frankly, that has been a trade-off that most people have been willing to make, and he's been wildly popular. And the other thing I think it's important to note is that Bukele is a person with a level of sophistication. He continues to put out really flashy videos to kind of promote what he's doing to connect. His level of English is very sophisticated. He's very good in playing on the world stage and representing his message, as we saw with his recent visit to Washington, D.C. with President Trump. And so all around, absolutely, John, he is a man with skills, who has become wildly popular in El Salvador, connected very well with the U.S. Even during the first Trump administration, I remember when I worked for Secretary Pompeo, I and other people had worries about some of the risks over the long term behind those skills. But, he has revolutionized El Salvador. And for that, the Salvadoran people are really wildly supportive, most of them, of what he's accomplished.
Wall Street Journal reporting in these last hours, El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele plans to double the size of the maximum security prison where his government is holding U.S. deportees. That prison contains one particular person, a Maryland resident until recently, who, according to reports, was deported incorrectly. Mr. Bukele's appearance at the Oval Office was spectacular. His relationship to the President of the United States is extremely suggestive of father to son. We're looking at a man who charmed Donald Trump. Not easy. That's a big mountain. And comes from a man who once upon a time bought an enormous amount of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, watched it plunge in half, then made plans to use a volcano, an active volcano, as a source of energy for mining more crypto, and then watch crypto 5 times higher than the lowest price. And he holds, I don't know how many millions of dollars of crypto, and that volcano plan is still underway. Evan, I'm just speaking to a part of Bukele's ideas. Is this the younger generation of Latin American leadership? Are we looking at an example or an outlier?
Well, I think, John, frankly, it's a little bit of both. It is, I think, an example of what is possible when, in the context of a Latin America with many endemic problems of corruption and poor government performance and other things, and with young populations, as you find, especially much of Central America, you have somebody who really connects. And some of the ideas of new generation, whether it's the use of modern social media techniques and in AI, or as you pointed out, Bitcoin. And in all fairness, important to remind, as you recall, as we talked in previous programs, there was a time in which there was a Bitcoin crash where Bukele's bet on Bitcoin did not look entirely well, and indeed was very criticized by the IMF. Now Bitcoin is way up, but things like the use of geothermal energy to fund a Bitcoin mining site instead of other things like factories, for example, looks at least on paper pretty good. But as you also pointed out, the connection with Donald Trump, in my own case, having observed some President Trump's cabinet meetings, I would say that Bukele put some of the cabinet officials to shame with his ability to, as you pointed out, charm and flatter. And actually, it's not often that you see a visiting Latin American leader.
30 seconds, Professor, 30 seconds.
Chime in on U.S. domestic policy. What's worrisome about the Kilmer-Abrego Garcia case, however, is there's a bit of a legal exception. So, this notion of, if you've got a foreign leader who's your partner, who's willing to accept for pay about $6 million, people that are sent from U.S. prisons, then, legally, can somebody actually be rounded up in the United States without due process because the person on the prosecutorial side says that we think you're Marcelo Trucha, be sent to a prison, and then the person on the other side says, "Well, we're here now," and the U.S. Government not having to respond to the judicial branch because they say, "Well, it's a foreign policy problem now." And so, in many ways, that friendship by Bukele has helped President Trump solve a problem and a bit of a legal loophole.
Professor Abinellis, we're headed to Panama.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,